Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 21st of October, 2 weeks before the presidential election, and we have been covering this for a long, long time. With this amount of time left, we thought it would be appropriate to do kind of a special open line. We've talked with political analysts. We've talked with people from campaigns. We've talked with so many people during the course of the past 2 years in preparation for this election that we thought there may be something we could possibly have overlooked, if that's possible. And we'd like to open the phone lines this hour of the show to ask for your suggestions of programs you'd like to hear before Election Day. Our phone number and lines are filled already, but they'll be open again as soon as somebody says goodbye. So join us. 800-486-8655 is our number. We do want to remind you as well that a week from this Thursday, we have a special live radio broadcast. It's always fun to speak with a group of people about politics. This is going to take place at Marquette University at the Alumni Memorial Union. Our show will be live both hours from this location. And we're going to have political analysts with us, people from the press, guests from representing both major political parties, and Marquette students will join us the second hour of the show as they talk about their future, actually, and what's been happening in terms of getting out the vote for Republicans and for Democrats. So this is taking place next Thursday, not this Thursday, but a week from Thursday, October 30th, from 9 a.m. until 11. The admission is free, but we need to know how many people will be there. So if you would please call this number to register, 414-227-2047, 414-227-2047. And we look forward to seeing you there. All right, let's go to phone calls. What do you want to have on the air that we haven't presented to you yet? 800-486-8655 is our number, and we start with Bob from Cedarburg. Hi, Bob.
Hi. There's been a lot of talk recently about the United States trending more towards socialism. Certainly, the country's a lot more liberal socially now than it was 30, 40, 50 years ago. And recently I heard a gentleman from France who said, the people in France cannot understand why the United States keeps trending in that direction, given the disastrous effects it's had on France and much of Europe. So I think it would be interesting to get somebody on to discuss what the effects of socialism, or, you know, how that's affected Europe, and the types of things we'd have to confront if we continue in this direction in the United States.
And why do you think we're trending towards socialism, Bob? What's concerning you?
Well, if you just look at the Democratic agenda and, you know, the liberals, the Democratic Party has become so much more liberal. There aren't a lot of moderates left anymore. And I really think that, you know, if you get somebody like Obama in there, who may be a very capable individual but is very liberal in his thinking, and you team him up with people like Nancy Pelosi and you know, the people that are running Congress at the moment, I really don't, you know, you're going to unleash something that we may not be able to pull back for decades.
All right, so you'd like to have a show on socialism. Am I getting it right?
Yeah, the effects of that socialism has had in Europe and the types of problems it's created and that it will probably create in the United States if we continue in the direction we're going.
Okay, thanks for the call, Bob.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye.
Let's go next to John from Madison. Hi, John.
Hello. Well, recently in the New York Times, there was a fascinating article by the Russian ambassador to Afghanistan, Zamir Khabilov, and he gave his summary of where Russia had gone wrong when they tried to take over Afghanistan. And it was a fascinating article. If you could get this guy, it would be, you know, a real feather in the cap, Wisconsin Public Radio. Both of the candidates are favoring continuing on with this war in Afghanistan, which I haven't understood, because we deposed the Taliban and we killed over 4,500 innocent civilians, which is more than our pound of flesh for 9/11. But we stayed there. And what Khabilov said was that the Russian mistake was once the Russians deposed the regime that was there, they should have gotten out. And what they did was they went after the rebels in the periphery with air power, and they ended up killing a lot of civilians and alienating the entire population, which is exactly what we're doing. And his solution is to turn the whole thing over to the Afghan National Army, but make sure that they understand that they're not acting as a client state, and assure them that we're getting out of there. But what I see us doing is, you know, I'm sure we're going to get out of Iraq right away. That's a war crime on the part of the U.S. But Afghanistan, I don't understand why we're staying there. You know, we've deposed the regime. I don't understand why we should not get out as soon as possible. Anyway, Khabibulov could go into this in detail, because the Russians were there for 10 years, and they got kicked out. The other thing is, there was a recent article about the Department of Health and Human Services looked at all the nursing homes across the United States and found 90% of them had violations, and roughly 20% the violations were threatening to the inhabitants, the people that were in the nursing homes. And they go into detail about where the screw-ups were and why they're continuing to recur. And they looked at all the nursing homes across the United States that get Medicare and Medicaid, which is virtually all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got parents in a nursing home, and I think a lot of the listeners do too, and they'd be very interested to find out what's going on in them.
Okay. And when did that report come out? That missed my attention somehow.
Of the nursing homes?
Yeah.
2 weeks ago.
Okay. All right, we'll look into that.
Well, I'm sure there's somebody in the Department of Health and Human Services that
will
come on.
Okay, thanks,
right,
John.
Thank you.
Bye. Jamie from Wausau. Hi.
Good morning.
Hello.
I would like to hear more about the stance of both candidates on family and marriage. Particularly, I'd like to hear what the plans are for the Healthy Marriage Initiative that's been going on at the federal level now for 4 or 5 years. I'm just curious to see what their stance is on that. I fully believe in the Healthy Marriage Initiative, and I would like to hear what they have to say. I don't know if we want to bring somebody on from one of the existing grantees of the Healthy Marriage Initiative, or if we'd want to bring see if we can get somebody from the federal level. I don't know, but, you know, I'd like to hear more about that.
All right. That'd be an interesting show.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye. David from Menominee. Hi.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, David.
When I heard the caller a few moments ago call with his worries about socialism, I had to get on the phone as quick as possible. I think you have had James Galbraith on.
Yes, he was on just last week, I think.
Oh, was it that recently? Anyway,
yeah.
As a result of listening to that, I got his book, and I'm almost finished reading it. And this is a powerful issue, because the economics on which the government operates have got to change big time. And at this particular time, we're going to need a lot of deficit spending to get us out of the mess we're in. So that is the issue. And I don't know whether you can have a guest like Galbraith back in a short time frame or not, but somebody, it would be good to talk about the importance of getting away from our free market ideology.
All right, so, David.
That's my suggestion.
Okay, thanks, David.
Bye.
Bye. What we're doing this hour is a little bit more directed open line. The election 2 weeks from today, and we're asking if there's any issue that you would like for us to cover to prepare yourselves for voting 2 weeks from today. Is there any issue? Are there any people you particularly would like to hear from? So that's what we're doing this hour. And the number is 800-486-8655. Ed from West Dallas. Hi.
Hi. You certainly have forgotten about us and the working class. Mr. Newby made his appearance on Joy Cardine's program, but I want to hear from Sarah Rogers, the vice president of the state AFL-CIO / political director. I'd also like you to talk with Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont, the only socialist in the United States Senate. He was 100% right on the bailout bill. Rick Cassell, the erstwhile candidate in Milwaukee County, is interesting. Mayor Zeidler's daughter is mayor in Virginia. And Kathleen, to get away from politics, can we please have a show on baseball? The World Series, the greatest ballpark ever, by Bob McGee, the story of Ebbets Field and the Brooklyn Dodgers. You can have your better half on for that. I think it would be wonderful just to break up the political rhetoric here.
Okay.
So those are my suggestions.
Thanks, Kathleen. Thanks, Ed. Our number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And we go to Sandy from Green Bay. Hi, Sandy.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
My suggestion is, I'm Oneida, and I live on the reservation up here in Green Bay, and I haven't really heard anyone speak to how the Native vote might go. There's 11 tribes in Wisconsin and 550 in the nation, mm-hmm. So not sure who's done a study of that. And number two is how the Hmong vote might go also.
Okay.
That's my question, more about the very small minorities and what their feelings are.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Sandy.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Sure.
Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Eugene from Viola. Hi.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi.
I picked it off the BBC a couple weeks ago. They interviewed an American who had been working on this New York floor of the New York Stock Exchange in 1929 when the stock market crashed. He's 102 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
He's 102. He goes to work every morning where him and his sons run a financial services, and he was very, very articulate.
Hmm.
And he was giving comparisons between the stock, what happened then in the stock market, and what's happening today. I didn't catch where he was. I'm guessing probably somewhere on the East Coast is where he's living. But I didn't catch what his name or where he was from.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could get a hold of him and get him on the air, I think it'd just be just great. He was telling how he bought and sold stock during the crash.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay, Eugene.
You bet.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye. Jim from Gurnee, Illinois. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I really believe that we really need a full discussion or debate on the what's happening to this country in the free trade agreements, free trade market.
Okay.
I've come out of some plants that have disappeared and went to Mexico, the Maytag Whirlpool Corporation down there. They're paying them $2-something an hour. But what's happening is they're destroying these small communities, Galesburg, Illinois, Monmouth, Illinois, and Dubuque, Iowa, and Wisconsin. When these corporations move or leave the country, what it does, it destroys every small community and some of the larger ones within a 50-mile radius of it. And I really believe that we haven't had a real debate or real discussion on what the side effects are on this. About 30% of those jobs that are leaving this country are college-educated, college-degree jobs. The young people that's getting their degrees right now coming out of college are having a very difficult time finding jobs. And I just feel if we don't change that, we're not going to correct the problems we're going through right now in this country.
Okay, Jim, that's a good idea.
I've heard it before on this, mm-hmm. on your story, but I really would wish that we'd really delve a little further into this and let the American people have that discussion.
Okay, I think that's a good idea. We've talked about it in the past frequently, but it's been a while. It certainly is a sideline issue in the campaign, but probably ought to be discussed more.
It's an issue that McCain has voted for the last four free trade agreements, and Obama has voted against them because of certain aspects of it. But I just they really need to discuss this and let the American people.
That's a good suggestion. Thank you, Jim. We're on
it. Thank you.
Okay. Bye. We're doing an open line directed toward what are the issues or the guests you'd like to have on the air before the presidential election, which is only 2 weeks away now. And we've gotten some good suggestions here this morning. So please give us a call. Our lines are busy, which is great. You're so involved. But as soon as somebody hangs up, there will be a free line, of course. John Treader is answering your calls at 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. The second hour of our program today, a conference, a seminar really on religion and the media. Combating Islamophobia is the title of it, and it's going to be this Friday. We will be speaking with one of the people organizing this, and we'll also be talking with a guest from, who's communications director of the Muslim Public Affairs Council. we'll be looking at Colin Powell's comments about being a Muslim, and we'll look at how the press and campaigns have treated this particular issue, and that's coming up the second hour of our show. All right, back to your phone calls to Kathy from Waupaca. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
There's a professor by the name of Bob Altemeyer. He is at the Department of Psychology at the University of Manitoba in Winnipeg, and he has done studies for a number of years on authoritarians, the authoritarian personality, and he argues that when they get into positions of power, there can be a lot of damage resulting, but there are many people who think like them, so it is not hard for them to get into power. So if you could maybe contact him, that would be incredible.
Mm-hmm. You know who had a similar kind of book is John Dean when you said
that.
I immediately thought of John Dean, who's with us next Monday, actually. So,
oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, good.
Thank
we'll look him up. Thanks very much for the call.
Mm-hmm.
Mike from Milwaukee is next. Hi, Mike.
Mort Saul and Jim Hightower. Mort Saul could lighten up this fantastically serious attitude that's coming across by some of your listeners. And Jim always has a lot of interesting things to say, so I wish you'd get Mort on there.
Where is he now?
I think he's out east somewhere, but you could track him down easily enough.
Okay. All right, you want a little humor.
Yeah, lighten this thing up, will you?
Okay, Mike.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much for the call. We go next to Karim from Madison. Hi. Or Kareem?
Yeah, Karim.
Karim. Hi, Karim.
Hi, I'm just I'm calling. I'm interested in hearing about the privatization of industries like the prison industry and the military. For example, 100,000 for over there, and then about 100,000 contractors. It's almost a 1-for-1 ratio. And you know, it's all about the questions, I guess. Some of my questions would be: if we create a production model based off of prison labor, doesn't that provide an incentive to create more prisoners? Also, if we create a production model off of conflict, i.e. you have a massive industry that provides security, well, they're out of business if everybody's safe and happy. So I'm you know, that might be totally wrong, but I'd like to hear some people who really know what they're talking about, have all the facts, or most of them, to tell us what's going on there. Should we be concerned about, you know, hiring somebody to do our military intelligence and our war fighting, and might they just find the next highest bidder? What if Iran has more money than we do? And certainly, I don't know, it just seems like a fantastic thing to look into, and we're certainly heading that way very, very quickly, I mean, obviously. So if you could get any guests in that know a lot about that, I would love to hear it. I'm sure a lot of other people would.
All right, Karim, thank you. Let's go next to Rich from Sullivan. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Kathleen. On Sunday morning, I was nearly moved to tears by Colin Powell's statement on TV, and I doubt that you can get Colin Powell on, but Chris Solentrope, who writes for the New York Times, wrote an analysis of what he thought was going on there, and perhaps he would be willing to come on before the election. The other suggestion I have is that I'm really interested in parliamentary forms of government, because in all cases they say that a government cannot stand past a certain time if all indicators are that it's losing its power. And I'm interested in a constitutional amendment that basically says, even though we preserve the system we presently have, that when public indicators are that a chief executive has lost credibility with the people, that elections will be held within 6 to 8 months of that time. As to your caller on socialism in Europe, I also would like a program on too big to fail is just too big. Some people have joked about the fact that when this is all over, and when they've taken my taxes and your taxes to recapitalize financial institutions, we might just have one big bank. And it's a joke, but it almost seems like, you know, Bank of America, who was on 60 Minutes on Sunday night, is like this gigantic enterprise. And if something happens to it, too big to fail in true capitalism is simply too big, it means that the economies of scale economists talk about have gotten totally out of control, and that we're going to be saddled as taxpayers again with socialism of a different sort for the wealthiest people rather than for the poorest people in the society. So thank you.
Thanks, Rich. Thanks for the suggestions. Laura from Madison, hi.
Hi. With the election coming up in just a couple weeks here, a lot of us who are on candidate listservs, we're getting increasing calls to volunteer with phone banks and canvases, and I definitely want to get involved, but I always like to understand how effective these different approaches are and what kind of difference you can make by helping with campaigns. And so I assume there must be social researchers out there who have done studies of the effectiveness of phone banks, canvassing, and, you know, people talking to people, and I think it would be great for all of us voters to hear about some of this data to help us understand the kind of difference that we can make for our candidates.
All right, that's a good idea, Laura. Something we haven't thought of. All right, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
Jared is next from Eau Claire. Hi, Jared.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'd really like it if we could hear somebody, I'm not sure where you find an expert on this, but to discuss what the candidates think about drug policy and where they want to take the war on drugs. It seems like that's a whole war that nobody wants to talk about. They don't seem willing to touch it with a 10-foot pole, whereas some of the smaller candidates like Nader and I know the Libertarian candidate before openly discussed that on their websites and whatnot. It seems like something we're spending an awful lot of money on to not be discussing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Gerard. Jared, right, sorry. Yeah, thanks very much for the call. Parker from Madison. Hi, Parker.
Hi, Kathleen. I wanted to suggest, first of all, a program looking carefully at what seems to me to be the rise of a new McCarthyism among us, with Republican candidates on both the national and local levels suggesting that those who disagree with them might be un-American, anti-American, or at least not pro-American, and calling for investigations of that sort. And at a deeper level still, I'd like to hear a historian, a political scientist, someone of that sort, look at the 20 or 30 years in Germany prior to the rise of Hitler and do a serious, thoughtful analysis of the roots of fascism in economic anxiety and loss of national identity among people who are then ready for the strong man, no matter how evil, to arise in their midst as leader.
Okay. Okay, Parker.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your call. We go next to Dennis from Combined Locks. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. Good morning. I'd like to hear something about that the Democrats, kind of like flying under the radar. I haven't really heard a lot about it, but I've heard some people talk about it, and I can't even remember what it's called, but it has something to do with talk radio that it would affect public radio. It would affect a lot of radio, as far as I know, that be trying to give it like a balance or something. You'd have whatever speaking parts that you might have, they have to put something else on. Do you know what I'm talking about, or?
Are you talking about? Radio used to be much more regulated than it is now. It's not terribly regulated, so it was a fairness doctrine. Is that what you're talking about? Okay.
Is somebody that knows something about that bill or whatever they're trying to pass? Because I don't know what I'd do without you guys. I really enjoy all the information that you give.
Thank you, Dennis. That would be worth a show, the Fairness Doctrine. I'm not familiar with a bill right now. I know there have been attempts, and I certainly worked in radio when we had a Fairness Doctrine. It seems like many years ago, but that would be a good show at some point.
Yeah, it's really been hush-hush, and I'd really like to know more about it, because if it takes away knowledgement that you guys bring and stuff, I would not agree with whatever the Democrats are trying to push. So,
all right, Dennis. Thank you. Thanks for the call. Andy is next from Middletown. Hi, Andy.
Good morning. How are you today?
Fine. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I woke up this morning.
Yeah, me too.
But anyway, some of the things that I would like to see is that I'd like to see a real economist or an accountant come in and just show why or how we're going to balance this budget without increasing taxes significantly. Because there's just no way that, at least in my mind, that we're going to be able to do it without mortgaging our children for the next 50 years. The other thing is that I'm a recovering Republican, and so I have, where I used to joke about I was to the right of Attila the Hun, now I'm to the left of just about everybody.
Huh.
And and I think that that most public radio is just too far to the center or too far to the right. So I mean, you know, I think the extreme. But anyway, those would be one of the problems or one of the programs I'd love to see. Also on socialism, I think everyone, you know, the minute they talk about socialism, everybody kind of gets all scared. But, you know, if you remember some of the programs, and you have had a few on socialism, boy, I tell you, the programs they got sure would be attractive. We wouldn't have to worry about our health care. We wouldn't have to worry about ending up in abject poverty when we're 75 or 70. So I don't know. I don't think that socialism is all that bad. So I'm one of the few.
All right, Andy. Thank you.
But,
thanks very much for the call. And let's go to Roger from Lone Rock. Hi, Roger.
Hi. I'd like to hear someone near the end of a campaign talk about negative campaigning, but I want to differentiate, not when people say negative things that people really did, but when they make innuendos or outright lies. I'd like to hear someone on, whether it's a political scientist or whomever, who can actually talk about things that happened in Wisconsin, like the health care. There's some really nasty things being said by a Wisconsin Group for Growth or something like that. And as well as, you know, the Obama heirs connection, some of the outright lies or outright strong innuendos that have no truth, and have them explain the real background.
Okay. Okay, Roger. And whether or not they work, certainly we'll talk about that as well. Let's go to Jim from Milwaukee next. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, hi. Just a quick aside, we already have Social Security and Medicare, which are forms of socialism, and I don't see anybody turning them down. The thing that I'm concerned about is just the thinking process of people and denial. And, you know, people are so easily distracted. Today it's William Ayers, yesterday it was William Horton, you know, and it seems to me that a lot of the people that I talk to, they're like the people on the Titanic, the ones that didn't get the lifeboats because, you know, they know the ship is going down and you can throw them a line, any line, and they'll go for it. So I'd like to see somebody on again, like maybe Tom Hartman, who his book Cracking the Code, and start giving us some idea of how these people think and why they think the way they are and why it is that good people can be so easily conned by bad people.
Okay, Jim. Thanks for your call.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. Our number is 800-486-8655. 2 weeks before the election, we're trying to figure out if there's anything we've missed here, if there's some subject area you want us to talk about, if there is a guest you'd like to have on. And we are going to be talking some about Medicare tomorrow, actually, Jim, and Medicaid, and we'll also be looking at the issue of the candidate's health and releasing records, et cetera. So that will be talked about tomorrow, the future of those programs. Let us go next to Clyde from Denmark. Hi, Clyde.
Good morning.
Hi.
One of the main branches of the government we have in this country is the judiciary, and it's going to be affected dramatically by who gets elected in this next election. So I think we should have a program discussing, you know, how the Supreme Court works, what the makeup is now, what the likely changes are going to be during the next term, because there's lots of old judges out there, and there's going to be new ones appointed, and it's going to affect all of our lives a lot. So mm-hmm. I think if we could discuss that before the election, it would be real good.
Now, what did I hear? Was it just a couple days ago that there is a likelihood that three new judges will be appointed just because of the age of the Supreme
Very
Court
possible.
Judges?
When you have only nine up there, well, that's a big percentage.
Yes. Okay. Great. Thanks, Clyde.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Wayne from Holman. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, good morning, Kathleen.
Morning, Wayne.
I got a guest that I would, if you can sneak him in, be great. And I also have a quick question for you. Stanley Kurtz of National Review.
Okay.
He's conservative, but he's not an Ann Coulter type.
Okay.
And he comes across, and he'll give you a perspective on both Barack Obama and John McCain from maybe a conservative point of view.
Sure.
And right. I know you welcome that. You take all points.
Sure.
And the quick question is, I know your husband is involved in sports. Are they going to re-sign C.C. Sabathia? I already have to sneak one in, don't I?
Well, you know, my husband's in Tampa right now covering the World Series. But
he's a good guy.
It certainly is dinner table conversation at our house because my son is a baseball fanatic. My husband, of course, works baseball. And that's what, you know, I'm trying to steer political conversations. And that's what we get. C.C. Sabathia, can we afford him? I think Michael says probably not.
Not. Okay.
Probably not.
Well, my son lettered 3 years playing third base for Holman High School.
Oh, did he really?
And he batted .400 his senior year. So
wow.
The reason I'm attracted to you is, like you said, we can agree on one thing, and that's
it's
the love
baseball.
Of Wisconsin sports.
Yeah, you got it. And baseball particularly. Oh, that's great, Wayne.
God bless.
All right, thanks. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Let's go to Margie from Franklin. Hey, Margie.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My suggestion is to do a program with someone, a strong representative of the faith position, specifically the Catholic position on abortion. And that's because so many people are using abortion as the one issue for voting. And all they want to know is, where do they stand on abortion? And there's an article out that says life does not end at birth. That's not the only time you're supposed to protect somebody. And I argue that there's many social justice issues that need to be dealt with that would reduce abortion because it would give people choices. Father Brian Massengill is a professor of theology at Marquette, and he's giving a talk tonight on social justice issues of poverty and racism. He's a wonderful speaker, and He pulls it all together, religion, race, politics, and he's talking tonight. Maybe he could come on the air. I'm so frustrated that so many people are, it's a one-issue vote for them. And there's so many things in politics that affect so many different groups for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Margie, we have his name down, and I thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye. Jim is next. Hi, Jim.
Yes, good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Jim.
The three names that I would like to hear from because of the way they think and the way they conduct their senatorship are Russ Feingold, Bernie Sanders, and Chuck Hagel. I think it'd be wonderful, but probably highly improbable, if you could have those three at the same table discussing current issues and so forth. Three very good senators. And I'm actually very curious to see what Chuck Hagel intends to do after his retirement.
What do you think?
I think he'll become similar to not John Kerry, but the other Senator Kerry from, I believe, Nebraska,
mm-hmm.
who has retired and from the Senate and gone into New York. And he's still highly political. I forget the name of the group that he's part of now, but he's still very active. Gary Hart would be another gentleman whose viewpoint I'd be interested in seeing at this point in time. Those four gentlemen are tremendous former and current senators, and I don't know. I just would like to hear what any of them, and if possible, all of them, are thinking about the current situation and who they think will make a better president
mm-hmm.
coming up.
Wouldn't be a bad roundtable. That's
for
sure.
One, I think.
All right.
I'd record that one.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye. We're doing 2 weeks before the presidential election. Is there anything we've missed? It seems impossible, but it is possible considering all the calls we've had, people wanting us to take a look at a number of different issues before the vote 2 weeks from today. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, and we'll take more of your phone calls in a moment. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The second hour of our program today, Combating Islamophobia. It's a major seminar on religion and the media taking place this Friday, and we'll talk about that issue and many aspects of that issue the second hour of our program. 800-486-8655 is the number now, and David is next from Watertown. Hi, David.
Good morning, Kathleen. I was watching Bill Moyer's journal over the weekend, and his final segment, he had a guest on by the name of Mark Crispin Miller, who was discussing the possible voter suppression in the coming election. We've heard a lot about Acorn recently and the false registration of voters, but I think he would be a guest that he should be heard from. This is something we need to get ahead of so that there is no doubt as to the validity of this election.
All right.
I think it's going to be an issue. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, David, for your call. Saeed from Green Bay. Hi.
Yes, good morning. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to talk to you about the Middle East coverage on Wisconsin Public Radio. I would like to suggest three names, Ahmed Abatibi, Akbar Ganji, or Shirin Ebadi. All three prominent Iranian dissidents who we have had the good fortune of having in the United States in the last few months. And they, it seems that perspective is has a hard time finding its way on Wisconsin Public Radio. The experts that have come on have either been people from they carry the water for the Khomeinis, their lobby in the United States. For example, if you do a search on Wisconsin Public Radio for the last 4 years, you will have 35 hits for Fawaz Girgis. And his opposing point of view is somebody like Daniel Pipes, for example, zero.
Who do you want to hear? Daniel who?
Daniel Pipes, for example. I'm not necessarily suggesting him, but I'm saying he has an opposing point of view to Fawaz Girgis. And Fawaz is very learned. I've appreciate every time he's been on, and he has a certain point of view. But the opposing point of view should at least get one hit, you know. And when it comes to, for example, somebody like Ahmed Abatibi, the guy who has spent almost his entire adult life in a political prison in Iran, and has is a great example of the fight that the Iranian people are fighting for freedom. And he is now, I mean, you can go to Facebook, for example, and get contact with him. He's in the United States. And to hear from somebody like that would be very beneficial to this audience who has the, you know, for whom this issues regarding Iran and the Middle East are important in their vote. So somebody like Akbar Ganji, who or Shirin Ebadi, Nobel laureate, Iranian human rights lawyer, who is a woman with the heart of a lion, has been fighting an awesome battle for rights in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Gets no audience, you know. I suggested when Shirin Ebadi was in the United States a few weeks ago. I contacted various hosts and Wisconsin Public Radio, but nobody had an interest in bringing her on. But then somebody like the guy from NAIC, the American, National Iranian American Council, NAIC, which is a lobby organization for the Khomeinis, well known to the Iranian community in the United States, their people managed to get on Wisconsin Public Radio with regularity.
All right. Why don't you just send me these suggestions, Saeed, will you? I'd be more happy to talk about that. As you know, we talk about the Middle East frequently.
I know you do a very good job with that. But I wanted to bring to your attention the sort of lopsidedness that's developed, perhaps not by, not by design, but just by virtue of the people that you know, that for example, like Fawaz Girgis, and I know you and your audience and myself have, a great respect for, but it would also be good to hear from an opposing point of view.
Okay. Thanks for your call.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Let's go to Buck from Madison. Hi, Buck.
First, praise for whenever you do this. It's so much fun to listen to people's suggestions.
It is, isn't it? I agree.
And I want to do a chirpy suggestion and a serious one, all right?
All right.
The chirpy one is, man, I'd like to meet these people at parties and talk to them, right? And occasionally you have parties where people who call in can come and everybody else who listens can meet them. So do some more, all right? All right?
All right.
And now the serious one. You had somebody who called in a week or so ago who said that his financial advisor had emailed me that everybody over 18 with this bailout package of $700 billion, right, was going to owe $250,000, which flabbergasted me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ran the math, right? Assuming 200 million Americans are over 18, yes. That's approximately correct.
Hmm.
Now, if I were awakened one morning and told that I had suddenly been saddled with a debt of $250,000, I would be very vengeful, and I'd certainly demand collateral. So can you consider having a program on this matter, right? Everyone in Congress who let the situation get so bad and the guys who burned our economic house down certainly are culpable. And I hope Feingold and Tammy Baldwin are not among those who are culpable. But, man, I feel mad about this.
Yeah, a lot of people do, Buck. All right, good suggestion,
goodbye,
sir. Thanks. Thanks for the call. Roger is next from Milwaukee. Hi, Roger.
Hi, good morning. And really, these are great shows. And because of your... all the great things you do, I finally became a member in one of your budget.
Thanks, Roger.
A couple weeks ago, so
thank you.
I feel good about that.
Yeah, don't you feel good when you do that? All right.
And it's funny, the person who was just on, this was exactly our discussion, and I heard the same figure was $248,000. I mean, you know, and it was staggering. And I have to admit, I don't know how we can continue to live over our head. The cost of living keeps going up. And at the same time, we're cutting taxes and lowering revenues. I mean, it doesn't make sense. But there's a gentleman, and I can't think of his name. He's a retired senator from Wyoming. And I believe he's a Republican, but he really got out of politics because I think he was sick of what the Republicans have somewhat become, because he's very old school. And when you listen to him, he is very sensible. You wouldn't know if he's a Democrat or Republican. He really takes both sides and looks at things extremely practical. And I can't think of his name, but here's somebody who I think could come on. He's got a tremendous history in politics, and he's watched the way parties have changed.
Well, Roger, we have to find out who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to say it's Strom Thurmond, but it isn't Strom Thurmond. But what was amusing is he retired, and obviously Cheney's from Wyoming. And so all I know is he's a senator from Wyoming who retired, I think, a couple of years ago.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, what's his name? I know who you're talking about. Okay.
It slipped my mind. I apologize.
All right. Okay.
But keep up the great work. I love you guys.
Thanks, Roger. Thanks for your support. Let's go to Peter from Stoughton. Hi, Peter.
Good morning.
Hi.
It's probably a little bit too late in the game, but I'm wondering if you could find a guest who could speak with some authority about how our next president might deal with George W. Bush's frequent use of signing statements in his legislation. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Your screener was unfamiliar with it, and there are hundreds of these, I guess you'd call them laws, that he has put into place, and I'm wondering, first of all, how any elected president would deal with the consequences of that sort of changes in legislation, and heck, for all we know, our next president might be just as willing to make use of this technique, if you want to call it that.
You know, it was on the news, too, last week, and I got a phone call, and I was interested in the answer to this, and I got a phone call right when it was on, and I didn't follow through to find out what their positions were, but I know it's been discussed, so we'll bring it up in a conversation, maybe on Monday when we do all things political, signing statements.
Okay, I'll listen then.
I'd like to know the answer to that as well.
Thank you.
Thanks, Peter. Art is next from Milwaukee. Hi, Art.
Hi. I have a specific guest to suggest along the lines of the topics that people have been suggesting about the new McCarthyism and what part of the country is pro-America and what part of the country is anti-American. And his name is Bill Fletcher. He actually has a book out right now, so he's probably on a book tour called Solidarity Divided. And I called in yesterday. He was actually the speaker at the Lawyers Civil Rights Convention I mentioned in Detroit, projecting, among other things, if Obama does win, well, what's the nature of the opposition going to be in terms of kind of a white populist, anti-immigrant, you know, these are Acorn and the poor blacks are the people who stole the election and the people who are responsible for the economic crisis, kind of a thing. He's very thoughtful. He was a top advisor to John Sweeney, the AFL-CIO. He was head of Trans-Africa Forum, and he's just very astute. And, you know, in terms of the things that, you know, I think it was a McCain rally I just heard on the news last night or this morning where they said everybody should go out and vote, not like the other side where they're going to vote 70 times. So people are being primed up the idea that if Obama wins, it's going to be an illegitimate election, illegitimate presidency, and, you know, it's going to be the wrong America took it from the right America. And he's very thoughtful, so if it's before the election or after the election. Bill Fletcher, Jr., the book is Solidarity Divided, but he's a number of books, and very thoughtful.
Okay.
Analyst.
Great.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Art. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Barb from Menominee Falls. Hi, Barb.
Hi. Good morning. I would like to suggest Kathleen Kennedy Townsend. She is coming to Milwaukee for a call to action November 7th through the 9th, and she'll be the keynote speaker. She's recently written a book, Failing America's Faithful, How Today's Churches Are Mixing God with Politics and Losing Their Way.
And
I think she would be great. A great guest.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good one. She's going to be in town November 7th.
Through the 9th.
Through the 9th.
The conference call to action is the 7th through the 9th. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. Great suggestion. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Jillian is next from Madison. Oops. No, that's not going to happen. And a caller from New Berlin. What is your name?
Jocelyn.
Jocelyn. Hi, Jocelyn.
Hi. Am I on the air?
You sure are.
Oh, okay. Here's my suggestion. When we went into World War II, we had the manufacturing capacity to allow us to help. I'm concerned now with all the jobs being moved overseas and with people being concerned with economic profits and not wanting to pay taxes. I think that we need to be willing to pay the taxes, be willing to keep our companies with jobs in the United States so that we have the capacity, we have the infrastructure to keep our country strong. I think there's a little bit too much me-ism. How does it affect me personally? And we need to be concerned about the good of our country overall.
Okay, Jocelyn. Great. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Patricia from Madison. Hi.
Hi. I want to speak on behalf of the billions of non-human occupants of Earth who are being extinguished on the one hand in the wild. And on the other hand, the UN came out with a report in 2006 that animal agriculture, that being slaughterhouse production, is causing more global warming than all transportation. And it's an issue that is not out there. We need to be looking at our food supply as to how destructive it is to our planet and the other species. We're killing 1 million farm animals per hour in this country, and we're bringing up millions of tons of carcasses out of rainforest countries in Central and South America. It's a huge global warming problem, and it's not being discussed because, you know, the rest of the species don't vote. So we're killing off everything else to kill off farm animals And all that space taken up is leaving us very little biodiversity to sustain life on Earth in general, including human life.
Okay.
So I'd like to see you bring in somebody like Wayne Pacelli from the Humane Society of the United States to talk about the connection between global warming, animal agriculture, and loss of species on our planet.
All right, Patricia, thank you very much for your call. Thanks for all of your calls, everybody. We had some really good suggestions, and we will follow through on several of them before the election 2 weeks from today. Just a reminder, all you political people, we're gathering Thursday, October 30th from 9 to 11. It would be great to meet some of you in person and meet some of you again. It's at Marquette University. It's a live radio broadcast just a few days before the election. It's next Thursday, and the first hour we will have a number of people with us. A panel will have Republicans and Democrats. We'll have people who write for papers. We'll have representatives from the campaigns. Marquette students will be joining us the second hour of the program to look at young people and this election. And we'd like to have you register. It's free, but just to know that you're going to be there, 414-227-2047 is the number to register, 414-227-2047. Thanks very much. Thanks for your calls. Thanks to John Treader for on-air production and Rhonda Fanning for producing the program. And we'll be with you after the news. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.